Hi, and welcome to the SJ Childs Show. I'm your host, SJ Childs, and today I have a really great guest. I'm excited to talk to her. We missed our last appointment due to everything errors. And so here today we have Dawn Barclay. Thank you so much for being here today, Dawn.
Well, thanks for rescheduling so yes. We could do this.
Oh, my heavens. Life, right? I was just telling her that we have the 8 Great Pyrenees puppies, the Great 8, as I'm calling them. And that is just going very, it's keeping me very busy, obviously. So let's talk about a little bit about you, and then we'll get into some stuff and projects that you've been working on. So tell us about yourself, Dawn.
Well, I grew up the daughter of 2 travel entrepreneurs. They had a big travel agency in Manhattan and a couple of branches outside. I worked for them for many years in sales and marketing. And I graduated from there and I went and worked for the Travel Trade Press. I worked for 4 major publications, most currently Travel Market Report. No. Insider Travel Report. Sorry about that. So I am their family travel and special needs travel contributing editor currently. And I wrote this little book called Traveling Different Vacation Strategies for Parents of the Anxious, the Inflexible, and the Neurodiverse, which brings me here today.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's so nice to have you here too. Tell us about your experience. Do you have personal experience with neurodiverse?
I do. I don't tend to talk about my kids because they're adults now. The youngest is 20, they're 25 and 28. And I just feel it's an infringement on their privacy. Yeah. I will say that the reason the book is called The Anxious, the Inflexible, and the Neurodiverse is because they were definitely anxious and inflexible when it came to travel. Yeah. I grew up traveling from the age of 2. I assumed that when I had children, it was going to be the same with them. It was not the same with them. They did not like doing little things like going into department stores. One would start screaming, going into pet stores. The other one would start screaming, restaurants, transitions, couldn't do it. You know, if you tried to go to the supermarket and on the way you wanted to go to the dry cleaner, a tantrum would erupt. And so that's as much as I'll get into with them, but I can just tell you, I was through the ringer and I wanted still to travel. And I looked for a book because I'm of the belief that there's a book for everything. When I got pregnant, I said, no problem. I'll read a book. So there was no book for this. Yeah. So I had to write it.
I love that. I think that's so important too. When you see a need for something in the community, you take hold and you make the change for yourself. You make the change happen. And it's also nice for our viewers and listeners to understand that the book is from your own personal experiences. Regardless, we don't have to discuss who they are, but knowing that you had, you know, that they're exactly from you and not just anecdotal stories that you heard or anything makes it so much more fulfilling for the reader and things to say, oh yeah, I understand this. She's been through this. We can get each other, you know?
Yeah, I do understand it. I have to correct you only in that very little is from me. I understood it. I could commiserate with it, but this is, I interviewed over 100 people for this book. Wow. It's very much their story. I spoke to parents. So you do have a number of parents, which is better than just hearing from me, and what they did right and what they did wrong and what they learned from it. You hear from certified autism travel professionals. They have specialized in handling travel for people on the spectrum, and also mental health experts like Dr. Tony Atwood, Dr. Ellen Lippman. So I really tried to be as comprehensive as I could and sort of make it a crowdsourcing experiment. So you've got lots of opinions. There's just a little from me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, that I apologize to get that wrong. No, that's fascinating. And that's really, then you get just a variety of perspectives, which makes it, available for more families because they're so many different routes and journeys that everyone is on. Isn't that true?
Yeah. I honestly don't think if this had been a memoir, it would have gotten published. I think that the fact that it was much more of an academic book and really very comprehensive is what got the attention of the publisher.
Yeah, definitely. Tell us about kind of how the book starts and what you start with.
Yeah, I start with how to start small, because I think it's important to introduce the concept of travel to a child and how to prepare. And you really have to prepare to the nth degree. And I talk about whether you want to do foreign or domestic. And I will say that about 85% of the book is strategies as opposed to destinations.
Yeah.
You know, because destinations changed, certifications changed, but the strategies, you know, we can add to them, which is why I have the blog that backs up the book. Yeah. But, you know, they're really, they can be tweaked, but they will stay with you and turn any vacation into an autism friendly or invisible needs friendly vacation. So then after I get through that sort of introduction, I go into, I try to do it as organized as I could. So first, how you get there, whether it's by car, bus, train, air, cruise, and then where you stay when you get there, whether it's a vacation rental, a hotel, a houseboat rental, how to vet those accommodations. It could be an all-inclusive resort, could be a dude ranch. I have all of that. Then I go into, well, you got there and you have a place to stay. What are you going to do when you're there? So it goes into touring, special interest museums that sort of feed into the passions that a lot of kids on the spectrum have, and theme parks, camping. There's even a chapter on restaurant dining. So it's not just for expensive travel, because you do have camping and you do have restaurants and trains and car rides. So it hits both expensive and inexpensive travel. And then at the end, there's a way to I've got the bios of all the people I interviewed. So you can use them if you want to book a vacation with a certified autism travel professional, and a list of resources for different disorders.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, I haven't taken too many vacations, I guess, in the last few years, but we did try to travel a little bit more when the kids were younger. And it's exactly, you don't know until you try. And then you're like, oh boy, this, we should have figured this out a little bit differently, had some strategies in place, which would have made things a little bit easier. Probably there were sleepless nights in hotel rooms. And, you know, I slept in the car with my son probably twice at a hotel, because the hotel just didn't work out for us. And so, yeah, I understand. There's definitely, and other families, of course, I'm sure that, you know, even going to visit family members can be so stressful and out of sorts for kids that are used to their routine at home.
Exactly. But by going to someone's home overnight, a very kind relative or friend, you're going to right away see the triggers of what's going to happen when your child sleeps away from home. And it's not going to cost you the thousands that you might have laid down for hotel stay. So right away, you're going to know whether they needed the sheets and blankets from home with the familiar scent and texture, if they need the toiletries they use at home, because they're, again, they're familiar with the texture and the scent. If they need a fan to drown out noise from the hallway, if they need a nightlight, whatever they need, you're going to know if you have to set up that room very similar to it is how it is at home, so that if they wake up in the middle of the night, they're not frightened. And again, this goes for neurotypical children as well. No child wants unpredictability. They want familiarity, routine. And a lot of the techniques that I offer are how to make the unfamiliar familiar and predictable.
Wonderful. So good for families, especially taking trips and wanting to do those things. You know, there, I think last year, or maybe this last April, we also had a travel agent on. I'll have to talk to you about her after the show and maybe get you guys connected if you already don't know her. But that was one of the things that she suggested as well, was starting small by going to somewhere close, like even like a hotel in your town, to just stay one night to kind of test the waters, get these ideas of what your child needs, doesn't need, doesn't want. And, you know, keep track of all of those things. And of course, there's still going to be unpredictability when it comes to traveling and, you know, airlines and things. What do you suggest when about traveling by airlines? What
that is my longest chapter.
I bet.
Yeah. And in there is also, what do we do when our child has a meltdown and people start looking at us? So that's included in there, along with motion sickness is in that chapter, because I introduce it early. The airline chapter comes first after starting small and all that. So yeah, one of the things I suggest is, first of all, looking at videos about the trip so that the child can see what the inside of an airport might look like, the inside of an airplane, maybe taking a ride on a bumpy road and having them close their eyes, because that's what turbulence might feel like a little bit. There is a group called Wings for Autism that sort of shut down during COVID, but they're starting up again, that will let you do a rehearsal of what it's like to be at the airport from arrival to boarding. There are different airports that are coming out with cabins, like airline cabins in the in their facility, that you can see what it's like. Oh, there are airports that are coming out with low sensory rooms. And I'm actually doing a story right now for my blog on which ones have that.
I'm reaching out to my airport to do the same thing. I work with a girl that does sensory room design here. We're doing our local children's hospital. So I'm going to be reaching out to our airport too.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And so I'm going to do a sort of a roundup story on which airports have it and what's involved in it. But also another part of that story is, do you know that you can take advantage, and you'll like this, therapy dogs at the airport. So if your child is going to be calmed, I mean, I hate flying, but if I knew I was going to see a dog at the airport, it would make it a lot better for me, because I'm such a dog lover.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to also talk about the therapy dogs at the airport and what that's like. So in the book, I do talk about whether you want to board early, whether you want to board late. Do you want to sit toward the front of the plane? Do you want to sit to the back of the plane? There are pros and cons for all of these, and that really depends on your child.
Yeah.
You know, because only you know what your child's going to work best with. Also, what to bring on board with you in your go-to bag. And this go-to bag, I repeat it almost in every chapter, because I figure no one's reading this book beginning to end. They're going to sort of pick, oh, I'm going on a train ride and I'm staying at a hotel. Let me read those chapters. So I always repeat what's in the go-to bag. And it's also always the things that you sort of need, like noise canceling headphones, electronics with your kids' favorite TV and movie episodes, you know, and fidget toys and snacks and little gifts that they're not expecting that'll keep them occupied. So yeah, there's a lot involved in the airport chapter.
Isn't that for sure? And I was just thinking about, I don't know why, what you might've been like as a child traveling and doing all of these things and not needing possibly all of these to-go bags and things like that for yourself. But you know, how that transpired into all of the experience that you gained and the, you know, availability that you now give and have given to your children to be able to experience those same experiences. Because I think that as hard as travel is, at the same time, there is a sense of they're getting more than just being in a room at home watching the same thing. They're getting those experiences. They're seeing things they've never seen before. And maybe they can't process it fantastic, but in experience, as they grow older and experienced, there's not one person that I've ever met that said, I can't believe my parents made me travel. That was the worst thing ever. Every single person I've ever talked to in their adult autistic life, thank gosh, my parents took me on those trips, gave me those experiences, showed me that it was okay to have different ideas about different cultures and diversities. Those are such important experiences for kids.
Absolutely. And I think along with making your child realize they're a global citizen when they travel, you're also educating the public about what autism looks like.
Yes, definitely.
So I think that's important too. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's our mission. That's what the mission we're on, isn't it? Is to just really help the public understand, especially since, you know, as we well know right now, the numbers are 1 in 44 in the United States, and that's probably a number that may not be as correct as it looks due to the fact that there's so many undiagnosed, you know, females and other cultures and such. But it's so interesting that we now have all of these, you know, books for travel, books for, and it's so wonderful, like you said, a book for everything. You can find something to help you with your vacations, with your, you know, traveling to go to a funeral if you have to, right? There's probably, what about those types of things? Do you have information about that?
I don't have a funeral chapter. I missed that one.
To me. I don't know why. but
I do talk about how to make everyday living at home into a travel experience. And that would be, you could turn a trip to the post office into an experience. You could turn a trip into a trip to a flea market or to a yard sale into a scavenger hunt. But I would call it a tour. Because if they have a good experience, then that can be a frame of reference for when you go and you're going on a real tour. And you say, remember when we had that great tour doing such and such, this will be like that, a little different, but we'll have a great time too. So local experiences such as zoos, aquariums, all those local museums that might feed into the child's passion again. All those are great opportunities. Even just going to an ethnic restaurant, make sure the child is eaten first so that they are not starving, because if it's a new food, they might not be willing to try it. But if they have, if you've brought your own food or if they're already eaten, it makes it easier for them to be willing to maybe try a bite.
Or you can just sit in there with the different smells and things like that. That's really great.
And maybe go during a quieter time between lunch and dinner to first start. Lots of restaurant tips about how to sort of introduce a child to restaurant dining. This was an issue for us. The restaurant dining and the screaming in the restaurant because they didn't want to sit and they couldn't stand the noise. And it's a chaotic thing. You know, airports are not the only chaotic experiences. The hotel check-in can be chaotic whenever you're near crowds with new smells and new sounds. It's all triggers.
Oh, absolutely. And it's really good to have, like you said, that's a good time to have that to go, that go bag, because you have the child's needs right there, keep them a little bit occupied while you're checking in at the hotel, while you're doing all of the transition times, right?
There's ways to avoid check-in now. You can check in advance. If you're traveling with someone else, one can stay in the car with the child. The other one checks in, you go right to the room. Some hotels will let you just check in with your phone. You know, you should always have a plan and then a backup plan. So you always like, what do we do if the plane's delayed? I even tell the child ahead of time, because you want to preview the trip to the child and explain to them what's going to happen. If the plane is delayed, we're going to have this experience. I'm bringing a surprise for you, and that'll come out if the plane is delayed. You know, whatever you do, just have a plan and make sure to communicate that plan so the child knows and knows what to expect.
You know, clear intentions is something we talk about a lot at our home and with our kids, is that when you have clear intentions of what you need and what you want and what is expected of you, things go a lot smoother than when anybody is playing a guessing game of how to help. So it's very, very true. What about going to maybe like a local, like you said, local restaurants, local hotels, museums in your area? And what about like water travel? What's that like for kids? Did you get any interesting stories about boat travel?
I'm a big advocate of cruises. I grew up cruising. My mother was scared of flying. My father's parents were in England, so we did a lot of we did a lot of transatlantic crossings. And as an adult, I always wanted to take cruises. It's just easier because you're not constantly packing and repacking, which again could be disruptive to a child. New hotel room every time you turn around. Here you have one cabin and you're used to it for the week. There was a lot of interaction between the different certified autism travel professionals I interviewed, because some really like the idea of small cruises and some like the idea of big cruises. And the nice thing about cruising is that there are different lengths of trip. So to start out, I mean, I started out with putting my child on a ferry and for a half hour so they could see, or a Circle Line cruise or wherever you are, so they can at least experience it before you're spending whatever on a week long trip. But different locations, different lengths, time, different size ships. There's a lot of variety in cruising, which is great. And it's also a way that you can introduce your child to international travel without the long flight. The nice thing about cruising is that if you go on a large ship, there's enough going on that if your child goes to the kids club, and most of the major lines have been trained in how to work with children on the spectrum, there's enough going on that if you have a neurotypical child, they can go their own way and you can really have a different experience for both of them. Yeah. And you can also, while your children are in the kids clubs or being kept busy, you can have some respite with your significant other. So it's a vacation for you too. The lovely thing is there is a group called Autism on the Seas, and they organize group cruises for families on the spectrum. So if you want somebody to take care of your kids, but also you want to talk to other families about your experiences and sort of, you know, trade notes and commiserate, that's a great, that's a great way to do it. And they do offer grants and scholarships. Wow. So I talk about that in the book, how you can apply to have a discounted cruise with them. But yeah, really good organization.
Definitely. Oh, I love that. I think that it's so neat to see the community come together and put together all of these programs to help these children just have the best experiences, and the parents as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is the book at now? Do we get it on Amazon? Where can we find, and do you have a website? Tell us about where we can find all of this good stuff.
Well, I don't know when this is going to air. The book comes out August 15th.
Fantastic.
So it will be, if you go to my website, which is travelingdifferent.com, and that's traveling with one L, I list where you can get it everywhere. You'll be able to get it at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, independent bookstores. If you go onto their online shop, you can find it there. Roman and Littlefield, who are my publishers, you can buy it on their site. But what else is on the blog is also stories that supplement and update the book, because it was, I'm insane about being thorough, and I knew that there was a stop point where I couldn't add to the book anymore.
Yeah.
But I realized that, well, I've got the blog. So if people check, they'll see, you know, if there was a typo in the book, I put it in the blog and I say, just note that this was an error.
That's so cool.
But
that's
also
really smart thinking. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting that one podcaster asked me, what happens after the trip's over? How do you deal with the letdown? And I said, that should have been the final chapter of my book. Oh, I can't believe I missed that opportunity.
Oh,
so now it's a story on the blog.
Oh, thank
so you really
goodness.
you have to follow the blog to get the whole story. But what I'm also hoping is that people will write to me on the, and tell me about their experiences. If you've had a different experience, if you think I'm wrong in some aspect, or you've had a different experience or found a different autism-friendly location or certified autism center that I didn't talk about, tell me, because I'll put it on the blog. You might be in the newest edition of the book if I get the opportunity to write another one.
Yeah.
And tell me if I've opened up the world to you at all, because I'd love to hear that too. That really makes me feel good.
Oh, I love this, Dawn. This is such great value to our community. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to write the book, to get all of those interviews. I'm sure it took so much time, effort, and intentions to do that. So it's just so fantastic what you've brought to the families and to the companies that are being able to get the more service, you know, from families that are getting prepared. So it's all full circle coming around. So wonderful, wonderful job. It's been such a pleasure to have you on today. Thank you so, so much for being here.
And thank you.
Now you get to go attend your own cruise. So
no, so but the happy. First thing is you're going to show me the puppies.
Yes, definitely. Definitely going to get you the puppies first. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Dawn. Stay there. I'm just going to close off this recording and we'll talk to you soon.